Welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. It is Easter Sunday, April 21st, 2019. We are going to hear a sermon from Pastor Arne Berglund, but first he will read us the gospel reading from Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Happy Easter, everyone.
But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered the words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with whom they told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, abundant grace, mercy, and peace is yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Crazy news, that's what I want to talk with you about this morning. What else is there to talk about on Easter Sunday but crazy news? When the disciples heard the news from the women who had been to the tomb, the Bible says that the women were liros. The Greek word, we translate it idle talk, but it really means delirious. They said the news was delirious, crazy. Crazy. Jesus was dead. They'd all seen that Jesus was dead. They had watched while his life had been pulled out of him by the weight of the cross. The disciples had agonized with him. They had taken his dead body down from the cross. Jesus was dead. And anybody with any sense at all could surely know that. Mary Magdalene was one of the women who brought the news, one of the first to go to the empty tomb. Remember now, this was the woman who had been at one point possessed by seven demons. Maybe those demons had come back, because this was crazy talk, no matter how you looked at it. Jesus risen from the dead? Get real. But this was not the first time we find God's people delirious, not by a long shot. You will find a lot of delirious talk in the Bible. You might remember the story of the Israelites escaping Pharaoh's army, standing at the shore of the Red Sea, being chased by Pharaoh's army. They were cornered on the water's edge. It was certain death. And then this wild guy with fire in his eyes hurls his staff at the ground, and the waters open up so that they can pass to the other side. And once they get there, they turn around to see how close Pharaoh's army had been. What they see is the soldiers swallowed up by the water. In an instant, the threat to them is gone. How did they react? Did they say, "My, that's interesting"? No. They were delirious. They began to dance and sing. I will sing to God a song of triumph and of victory, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. They were crazy that day. They were delirious. The psalm we sang with each other this morning echoes that ancient song of Moses. This is the day. This is the day that it happened. The Lord is my strength, my song. God has become my salvation. A strength you cannot see, a song you cannot hear, crazy. Crazy talk. There's more of this crazy talk in scriptures. It's really all over the place. The Apostle Paul writes to his friends in the city of Corinth, and he's not exactly happy with his friends. He had helped them to understand the story of Jesus, and they had seemed to have forgotten it, or at least found it boring because they weren't practicing what they had learned. When we read words from St. Paul in worship, we work really hard at making them sound very dignified and stable, but really Paul's saying, hold on, this crazy news, hold on to it. Not just because it's true, hold on to it because you see, it is life itself. Pharaoh's army got drowned. I shall not die, I shall live. He is risen indeed. Crazy, crazy news, delirious news. God's word, your hope. Long time ago, there was a poet, G.K. Chesterton. He heard the crazy news. His life was changed as he became a Christian. One day, shortly after he had announced his newfound faith, a reporter found him on a street corner in London, and he said, can I ask you a question? I just want to know. If you were to see the risen Christ standing beside you at this very moment, what would you do? The poet, G.K. Chesterton, looked that reporter directly in his eye, and he said simply, he is. In another part of Paul's letter to his friends, he writes, the kingdom of God does not exist in talk, but in power. Now, this may seem like delirious ranting to a world that puts too much faith in death, but in faith, it's really truth. The word Paul uses for power is dynamis. The gospel truth is dynamite. It blows up our tidy world. It reshapes us through the power of Jesus' victory over death. Not idle talk, not a fairy tale, not an empty promise. This is truth. This is life. It is dynamite. The risen present Jesus stands beside us at this very moment. The hidden power is the living presence of the risen Christ. You know, if we want to limit the resurrection story to the past, as if it were some dusty old tale, or if we want to place it somewhere in the future, where we can neither imagine nor control it, we make this Savior, this Jesus, irrelevant. If we limit the resurrection in such a way that it can't have any power, it can't have any dynamite in our life. It can't interfere with our daily business. Don't you see? If Jesus is merely a historical figure, if he's only that which we might hope for someday, he's not here. He's not presence. Well, the crazy news, the good news of Easter is that Christ is here now. Christ is present. Crazy talk for those who might think Jesus is dead. That's why, of course, the disciples ignored the women that day. They knew that Jesus was dead. But if their talk had any truth to it at all, if it was anything beyond delirious, they needed to see for themselves. And that's what they found, the risen, present Christ. There's a theologian, a pastor, Dan Erlander, who likes to speak about God's word as being a living word, not a dead word. A living word reaches out and it grabs you. It says, when you hear the story of God, the crazy story of God, it breaks into your life, pleading, give up your games, give up your false gods, your illusions, your vindications, your excuses. Give up your dreams of finding wholeness and validation in your good works or your status in what it is that you own or consume, in your morality, in your self-fulfillment. Because through Christ, God, present God, woos and pleads with us with a living word saying, I love you, I forgive you, I want you, trust me, obey me, enter the joy of my kingdom. Receive the dynamite of the gospel, because Christ is alive and present. You won't find him in some old tomb. He's gone. He doesn't wait for you in the future. Christ walks with you. He's present. When we shut Jesus out by looking the other way or dismissing the good news as some kind of craziness, our hearts are touched by the icy fingers of disbelief, and we lose sight of this present Christ, lose sight of the connectedness of life by our inattention to the sacred presence of the risen Christ. What did those women discover at that tomb? The angel said, why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus is to be found among the living. It's no wonder that these women were delirious. They had discovered dynamite. They discovered resurrection power. They had recovered the risen, rediscovered the risen presence of Christ. A risen presence that enabled them to face a new day, a new creation. This risen Christ enables us, you see, to face the good and the bad by helping us to understand that we don't walk alone, but rather we walk with the present risen Christ. Crazy talk, yeah. Delirious news, absolutely. The truth of God, dynamite, of course. You can count on it. Pharaoh's army got drowned. I shall not die, I shall live. He is risen, he's risen indeed. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Do a little dance, sing a little song, get a little crazy, because the promise of God is yours and it is a promise of new life and certain hope. So if we are captured by that faith, if we accept the crazy news that God has raised Jesus from the dead, what else is possible? Clarence Jordan is a man who founded an organization called Koinonia Farms. It was from Koinonia Farms that the marvelous ministry of Habitat for Humanity emerged. Clarence points out the difference between believing in the resurrection and practicing the resurrection. He said we should worry a whole lot less about what people say they believe happened 2,000 years ago and more about, are we living as if resurrection still happens? While the ashes are still warm from the fire that destroyed Notre Dame and the fires that destroyed the arsons that destroyed churches in the south this winter, and even the churches that were bombed in Sri Lanka during Easter services this morning, while those ashes are there, people are already starting to talk about restoration. This is what faithful people do, you see. They practice resurrection. God calls us to practice resurrection in our lives so that from the ashes of disaster and despair, a hope might emerge. That we might resurrect compassion from apathy, that we might resurrect love from hate, that we might resurrect death into new life. A crazy idea? Perhaps. But we remember, as we remember this day, He is risen. He's risen indeed. Amen.